Father, I just thank you this morning that we can just, again, Lord, we just pause and give you thanks, Lord. And we thank you for 2015, and we give thanks now, Lord, for 2016. And I just pray, Lord, as we move forward in this church, Lord, that you would just continue to be a presence here, Lord, and that you would help us to bring you glory in this community, that you'd help us as a church to unite together in Christ's name, so that Christ can be made known, Lord. That is our goal, and I just pray that you'd help us do that, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing, that we have to be reliant upon you. And so, Lord, I pray for that. I pray for that in this church. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the first sermon every year, I kind of start out, I kind of give a preview. If you've been around me for... Some of you have been around me for a while now, because this year is going to be my 10th year here, and which is pretty amazing to me. Anyways, we'll talk about that for a moment. But what I want to do this morning, so it's not going to be your normal sermon. If you're going to get a little sermonette, kind of an overview. I'll just tell you now, you're going to get an overview of what's going to happen over the next 4 weeks, because we're going to talk about connections. And how that works out. And I'll explain that to you. We're going to do a series on connections. And so I'm going to touch on that a little bit. What I'm going to do is kind of give you a little sermonette to kind of get you ready and hopefully get you to keep coming back for what's going to happen. I'm going to try to build a little momentum. So I'm hoping that you'll get excited about what we're learning and that you'll invite other people and we'll learn together. But I also want to do a review of 2015 a little bit, and look at where we want to go in 2016. Where do we want to go this year as a church? And as we start 2016, I thought this morning that I would just take a little time to set the tone. I want to get you excited about what's happening. I think it's good to take a moment to look back and look ahead. And when I look back, I realize that I've been here 10 years. I was 40 years old when I came here. That means this year I'll be 50, which is really, some of you have already passed that milestone, but that was a little shocker for me. But just to give you an idea, Joshua, who is sitting in the back, was 14 years old when we got here. Jacob was 12, and Joe was 7. And you see how big Joe is now. And I'll explain something, too, that maybe you don't realize. But 8 of these 10 years, I've been in school. I never thought in my life I would spend 8 years studying in college. I'm the guy at 18 that said, "Do you want money for the GI Bill?" I said, "Heck no, that's beer money." That was me. That's what I was thinking. Am I 18 years old? What a decision to give to an 18-year-old, first of all. You're only making $300 and you want to take 100 of it? Yeah, no. For college, I just got out of high school. That was my thinking at 18 years old. I wasn't the brightest guy, but that is. And then you realize later on you need education. But I've been in school 8 years since I've been at this church. And I get to graduate this May. And there'll be no more school. And so I'm happy about that. I'm so happy about that. You just don't know. But you know what I'm really happy about? And I just want to really just take this opportunity to say thank you to the ones who have just supported me through this. Because it's been hard for me, and I haven't been able to focus on a lot of stuff that I would love to focus on. I haven't given my full attention. I haven't been able to. I've been kind of living in two worlds, trying to do two things and raise my family and do all those, but I could have never done any of it without the support of the church. And they've supported me all through this, prayed for me and encouraged me and had patience with me, because I know there's been times there's been frustrations because I haven't been available. And, you know, you think about this for just another thought. You know, why am I in seminary? I get asked this all the time. So you're going to have a master's degree in divinity. How is that going to help you make money? It doesn't. Let's just say that right up front. It's not about money. If you think you're getting degrees in ministry for money, you're crazy. There's no money in it. How does it translate? You go to Walmart, I got a master's in divinity. It doesn't go anywhere. It could care less. It just doesn't translate. So why do I do it? Why would I spend this much time learning so I can teach you? It's the whole purpose. I mean, I want to learn so you can learn. And I can only, let's face it, this is why it was so important and why it's still important. I can only take you as high as I am. Anyone who leads anybody can only take you as high as they know. I can't take you beyond what I know, right? So if I can learn more, I can bring you higher. You see that? You know, and I always thought about, I complained at once. I was like, why do I need to learn more about school and about God? I mean, I study it all the time. Why do I need to learn from professionals? And one guy said, one very smart man who just kind of took my whole argument down, he said, you'll never stand before God and say, I learned too much about you. So it's good for all of us. And we're going to benefit this together. When I look back at 2015, I see a year that laid kind of groundwork for the start of ministries. Small churches, we go through the up and down. Big churches go through the same big up and down, but it's not as visible. Small churches, we see it's visible. We see attendance rise, we see attendance drop. We see money coming in, we see it coming out. It's just those are the facts of being in a small ministry. People come and go and things change all the time, and it's very visible. So I appreciate it. This year, I think we laid some groundwork. Pastor Charlie has come on, and with us, he has helped us launch small groups, something that was desperately needed, and he started it. I mean, he brought small groups to our church. Amen. And that has been a great experience for a lot of people. And we started 3 small groups, and they were all attended very well and for a launch. And the purpose of these small groups was, first of all, the reason that we did it the way we did it for 8 weeks in this last fall was to learn how to do it. We have to learn these things, and we have to learn how they work, how they're organized, and how we can do it, and how we can build on that. And I think we learned that. But the main thing is what happened in those small groups, and you can talk to anyone who attended them, was that relationships were built. Relationships were built, and connections were made. And that ministry took place in those small groups that cannot take place on Sunday morning. You'll listen to me on Sunday morning. We'll sing some songs together. But there's no ministry that's really taking place. That's going to take place in relationship and small groups. So as we start those small groups back up in February, I want to encourage you to be a part of that. I want to encourage you, if you feel like God is leading you to lead one, to host, whatever part, take part in those small groups, but get yourself involved, because that's where ministry is going to take place on a bigger scale. So I just want to encourage you in that way. Another thing is, I look back on the Awana program. You know, it's really hard for us to see. If you're not here on Wednesday night, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But we have over 50 kids that show up for our Awana program every week. And this program almost died. And I'm sharing this with you because the leadership changed, and some of us saw that maybe we should stop it. And my wife stepped forward, and I tell this, that Sharon stepped forward and took the lead, like in so many things that in this church and even in my own life, she stepped forward, and she not only just took over it, but she's building on it. And I couldn't be prouder of Sharon. I mean, I know she's not in here. I mean, she does so many behind-the-scenes things that is just amazing. And so, we're blessed to have Sharon Simpson in this church, not just because she's my wife, but because she's truly a blessing. But it was in a leadership meeting that a turning point took place. We have these leadership meetings. Some of you have attended them, and I can say that they're not always the exciting things. Some of them drag on. Some of us we like to talk and hear ourselves talk, so, you know, that kind of rambles on sometimes. But it's admin. It has to take place. It's just a part of life. If you've been a part of anything, they're there. And there was a time when we thought about just canceling, and Sharon waited till her turn. She kind of let us all talk in the room and almost set up like an ambush for us all. As we were all saying our things, she was quietly sitting there. And then it came her time to speak. And she pointed out that over 50 kids a week come to Awana, that parents are bringing their kids to our church. And she said, also, remember that our VBS, over 70 kids attended. We had 116 people here every night of the week during our VBS with the workers and the kids. That's more than I'll ever be here on Sunday morning, which is amazing to me. I would love to see them combined. Anyways, but God has given us an opportunity to share Christ with those kids and with their parents, and the parents are bringing them. So even though we don't see those kids on Sunday morning, it doesn't mean, she said, that we should stop trying to reach them. Sharon reminded us to be faithful to our mission statement, which is to know Christ and make Christ known. And I share this because I think it was an important moment in the church. I think it was an important moment for us that we have to remain focused on what we're called to do here. That we're called here to know Christ and make Christ known. As a church in this community, no matter how small we are or how big you are, you're commanded to reach people for Christ. And that's what we have to do. So we look forward to the opportunities that God is given us. And I want you to continue to pray for Awana and continue to support it if you can. And we're also looking for other opportunities to reach deeper into the community. We don't want to stop. I think when a small church or any church stops and starts to maintain what they have and they start losing focus on reaching people, you're dead. I do. I believe that. And there's going to be some new ministries that are already starting to arise. I mean, we have Joaquin that's come here and Ryan, and you've seen them sitting up here. And there's a new ministry that's going to start in a firehouse. Some of you have heard some of the details started coming out, but that hasn't. It's in progress right now. It's being organized together. And when we have a full plan, I will present that to you. But right now, it's in the stages of being put together, and it's working. But there's some opportunities there that are going to that have potential to reach youth in this community in ways that haven't been done before. And so, to me, that's something to keep in prayer, and it's something exciting to see it come together. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do. I do. And I think it's going to be great things. And I look forward to preaching and teaching this year. We're going to focus this month on connections. One of the things that I've learned as I look at Scripture and I look at people and I look at ministry and I see connections. I don't know if you see them or not. But I hope in the next month that you'll start to see how everything is so connected together and how it's connected together and why it's important that we nurture those connections and keep them. So we're in need of a relationship, and it starts with Christ and with one another in the church, and it spills over into everything else. See, our connections with Christ spill out into everything else that we do. And that's what I want to see. Especially like in our marriage and our relationships and how church works and everything. And then we're going to explore that. And then after that, after this month, we're going to start into the book of James. And we're going to start working through the book of James. And we're going to see how practical living, the Christian faith in response to the culture around us. That's going to come out. And we're going to be confronted with some of our own issues in James. If you've ever read James, you know what I'm talking about. And we're going to see that. And we're going to see how it's done. And then this fall, we're going to look at the book of Colossians. And we're going to focus on Christ. So we're going to look at relationships and connections. We're going to look at James and how practical living. And then we're going to see how we do it by focusing on Christ and going into the holiday season. So that's how I see the year shaping up. So what I hope that does for you is that kind of gets you a little bit excited about what's going to be happening. And what I want you to do is start clearing off your calendars for Sunday and start inviting people and start coming and attending, because we're going to line this up for you and you're going to see it. and you're going to benefit from it. You're going to grow in Christ, and you're going to be able to share Christ with others. So that's the goal. That's the overview. That's where I'm looking at going. So keep it in prayer. I would just encourage you to do that. And so I just want to now kind of wet your whistle. I want to get your appetite kind of set up a little bit for connections, to see what I'm thinking about. Because when you hear the word connections, I know your mind is going 100 minutes. It can just go everywhere, right? I mean, what is he talking about when we talk about connections? And where are connections in Scripture? What are you talking about? Have you ever been on the phone with someone and had the call drop? You ever had that happen? You know, I've watched the cell phone. It's kind of funny because I've watched it evolve. Literally, like, it was huge. You know, it's got small, and you had the flip phone. You just watch this thing. At first, you could just drive, and it would just drop you all the time. And it was just a part of the everyday conversation on the phone. You just start calling back. And what usually would happen is it would drop at the worst times. You know, it's just like you just finally get to the point of the conversation. You've been listening to this person talk for 10 minutes, and you're finally getting to what it's all about, and it's gone. And you're thinking, oh, and then you try to call back, and they're trying to call you, so the phone is busy. Have you ever had that happen? And then you just can't connect at all, and then you're just left, like, hanging there. You're just like, oh, I gotta wait for the next 10 or 15 minutes or later on that day before you can even start up the conversation, and you got to go through all of it again. But there was this level of frustration, right? Let's take it a step further. Have you ever been, worked somewhere, been in school, anywhere where you tried to connect with someone and you just couldn't do it? It was just an awkward conversation right from the beginning, and you never could connect with them. And I was in the military. I was forced to work with people. I mean, I'm telling you, one of them was, I can think of this one time, there was B-52s in North Dakota, and there was a little patrol, and you were in this little Datsun, two guys, and if you're a big guy, you're shoulder to shoulder, with M-16s and all this gear on, for 12 hours, riding with this guy, and you rode back and forth. That's all you did all day long. It was no longer than just like this room to the fellowship hall and back, and you couldn't stop driving. You had to keep moving. And if you stopped, the guy on the radio would be like, why are you moving? Why are you moving? What's going on? And our flight chief, if you complained about somebody, guess what he did? He put you on with him in that patrol. So you would get out there and literally be fist fights sometimes because the two guys didn't like each other. But you learned how to get along with each other. But sometimes you go through that and you could never connect with a guy. You're just sitting there all day long going, I can't wait for this day to be over, to be away from this guy, because I don't even relate to him in any way. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever met someone you just could not connect with? I have. How about this one? You've been in a relationship with someone, married, and you're disconnected with them. I've been married 28 years. I can tell you, there's times in my marriage where I've been disconnected, where I just didn't even like her. And I know she didn't like me. Right? You ever been in that situation? It's hard. You're living in the same roof, under the same roof, and you don't even talk to each other. It's just like this whole, like, you can just feel it in the air. You're totally disconnected. And you don't want to connect in any way, shape, or form. You don't even like them, but you're stuck with them. Right? All right. The fact is, we need to be connected. All those stories is about us connecting and wanting to connect and how to connect. How does that all work together? And why is there a need for that? This morning, I want to lay the groundwork for this series of messages, and I'm going to give you an overview, and I hope that you'll come back for more. And my goal is that you see that you're made for connections. You're made for relationships. It starts with a connection with God, and it goes to others. Starts with a connection with God, and it spreads out to others. And it plays out in everyday life. As we think about this, Jesus told his disciples in John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." In your spiritual life, that basically sums up, if you're not connected to Christ, no fruit, nothing happening. I also think about how we're made in the image of God. And when he says, God said this, then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish and the seas and the birds of the skies and the livestock and all the earth and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And I also saw that in Genesis, in the same story, you see how God created all things. He created man, and he recognized in the garden that it wasn't good for man to be alone. All the things in the garden were good, except that man was alone. He said, then God said, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement." So he saw we needed a relationship right off the bat, and he provided that. We were made to be in relationship. We were made to be in relationship with God, and we're made to be in relationship with one another. We are relational beings, and for this reason, and I think one of the reason it is because we're made in the image of God himself. And then this is what separates, for me, the Christian God from all the other gods. Because our God, the God we believe in, Yahweh, is a triune God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and does nothing outside a relationship. God never does anything alone. He is always in relationship when he does something. Always. He never does anything just by himself. He's always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, constantly. All the time. He's always in relationship. And we are going to look at that in greater depth next week. So I would hope that you would come out and see what that's all about. But God is always in relationship, and we are made in his image. Thus, we are made to be relational. And I believe that stems right from God in his own image. In fact, I believe we can't live without it. And I think that's a scientific reality. I think about the movie Castaway. You know, one of the things I like that movie. And I've seen it several times, and it has Tom Hanks in it, and he's deserted on an island. His plane goes down, it crashes, and he's the lone survivor, and he washes up on shore of this tiny island, and he's totally alone, and he realizes it real soon that he's in need for a relationship. He's desperate to talk to somebody. And so what does he do? Does anyone who's seen the movie knows he takes a volleyball, and he makes Wilson. Right? And the rest of the movie, we see him having these deep conversations with this volleyball because he can't live without it. And you know, one of the saddest scenes in the whole movie is when Wilson floats away. I mean, I cried during that part. Right? I mean, Wilson, you're right now, you're thinking, Wilson! Wilson! But we can't live without it. We have to be in relationship. We live in a culture today, and this is why I want to focus on this and why I think it's so important. Because we live in a culture today that is more connected than any other culture in history. Think about this for a minute. We have developed social networks. Now, you don't have to think that my kids, there's kids growing up that have no idea what life was without Facebook. Think about that. I mean, there's people in this room right now who have no idea what life was like before computers. I mean, I grew up where there's no computers, no cell phones, none of that. But there's a whole generation that's coming up that's what they know. That's how they've connected from the very beginning. There's networks like Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat. And I'm an old guy, so those are the only ones I know. But I know if I talk to the kids, the younger guys, they already know there's other social media out there that's bigger and it's growing and they communicate that way. We send thousands of text messages, literally thousands. When I get the phone bill and I see that they spent, how do you send 5,000 messages in a month? I ask those questions, that's a small number. I mean, if you talk to Joshua back there, Joshua, how many of you send out in a month? What's your high? Joshua? He's not going to tell me? He's texting. But it's thousands. Anyways, it's thousands. But here's the thing, though. We send out all these text messages, and we ping each other, but we're more disconnected now than ever before. I do. I truly believe that. And here's what I think has happened, is that we now have found ways to connect with others without risk. We have eliminated the risk. Because, think about it, we choose when we connect, what time we connect, how we connect. On the surface, it looks like we're connected, but we're not at all. Because we don't do face-to-face connection anymore. Because that's risky. You might discover something about me. You might find out I'm bored with you. Or whatever. Because one of the things that I've learned over time, relationships are messy. Every relationship you come into is messy in some way, shape, or form. Connecting with someone is risky. There is. You could get hurt. Let's face it, people will let you down. How many of you have been let down by somebody? Just get to know me. You'll know. I'll let you down. We're all like that. We'll disappoint people. We'll never meet everyone's expectations because they're unreal. That's just a reality. It's how we do things. We project on people. We want this standard. We want it. We can never live it. We expect everyone to live it, but we'll never live it. And we put that on people. Feelings get involved. We get hurt. And when you start to think, and I'm an introvert, so it's really, really easy for me to say, I don't need any of this. I don't want it. But here's the reality. When it comes to understanding, we're all broken people, and we're trying to make the best out of broken relationships because we're all a mess, and we're trying to do the best we can, and we can't run from it. It has to happen. We have to have it. It seems almost cruel in some way, but that's the way God has it. And so how do we do this? How do we do this together and want to stay with each other? And want to work through these things. See, this makes our relationship with Christ even that much more important. Because I really believe it has to start with Christ. It has to. A relationship with Jesus starts with the changing of my heart. It changes my heart. It has to change my heart. And it's initiated by God. It's not something I do. It's God who dances with me. He's the one that comes after me. He's the one that pursues me. He's the one that changes me. And he did this, and he provided a way for a relationship with him by way of a cross and the resurrection. He took the initiative. He brings me into this relationship. He provided a way. He had mercy on me. And mercy and grace, a lot of us, we get confused with mercy and grace. Grace is unmerited favor, saying, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to do it. Mercy is having pity on you. He sees your condition and has pity. And he does something about it. He took pity on us. He saw that we were hopeless, helpless, and could not rescue ourselves. And he took the initiative and he rescues us. He draws us into this deep relationship. And he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this love is always between them. And he draws us into that. That's an incredible thought and picture for me. But it frees me because, see, from my relationship with Jesus, I can connect with people in an entirely different way. In an entirely different way. As Christians, we don't have to connect with other people to find peace and to complete us. See, everybody's out there looking for that one person that's going to complete them. You know, I think there's a famous movie that says, "You complete me," right? I think it was I can't remember what movie it was. Anyways, it's in there. We don't have to find that. First of all, you're never going to find that in another person. If you're looking for another person to complete you or make you happy or to give you peace, you are in trouble. I'm telling you right now because you won't find it. You'll search and search and you'll never find it. But in Christ, I know where my peace rests. It's in Christ. And He alone completes me. I am complete in Christ. I am who am I supposed to be and who I'm made to be in Christ. And so that frees me from looking for that in other people. I don't know, that's liberating. If you can wrap your brain around that and really like embrace that, it'll change every relationship you have. Because you will never look at your spouse the same again. You'll love them for who they are and not try to make them into what you need. Because your needs will be met in Christ. And you can love that person and allow them to be the person God wanted them to be. And you can enjoy them for who they are instead of trying to make them into something else. And we're going to talk about that more, but that's the start of it. It frees me to love people for just who they are and not have to do anything for them other than to love them. And that means when someone wrongs me, guess what I can do? I can forgive them. I can extend them grace. I can love them because why? Because Christ loved me. He extended me grace. He's forgiven me. Why can't I do that to others? And it all starts with Christ. See, this spills out into every relationship that you have. You have to be connected and into every walk of life. Our world today desperately needs this more than ever before. We're starving for it. I mean, we're literally starving for it. I believe if we're gonna make an impact, it starts with this connection, with the relationships. It starts how we're connected with God through Christ and how from that all our other relationships are connected. And I hope this morning what I've done is just given you a quest no more. Because I hope you come back, because we're gonna be talking for this for the next 3 weeks. And it starts with our connection with Christ. Because it all starts with Him. If we're going to move forward as a church, and if we're going to make an impact in this community for God, it's going to start with Christ. To know Christ and to make Christ known. To be plugged in with Christ. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, because apart from Him, Lord, truly we can do nothing. And then, Lord, as we look at this coming year, Lord, I pray that You would just help us to grow closer to You, Lord. But I pray that, Lord, for Your glory, Lord, not for the glory of Pastor Steve or First Baptist Church of Rockland or any of those things, Lord, but that You would be glorified in this community. And it starts with a relationship with You, Lord. And so I pray this morning that if there's anyone sitting here this morning that's never made a commitment to Christ, or maybe they've made a commitment to Christ, but this morning they're feeling in their hearts, Lord, that they need to make that commitment real, Lord, to live for You. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that You would just invade their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that they would surrender to You. And again, Lord, we just thank You for the opportunities that You give us, Lord, that You reached down and You touched us, and that You went to You walked this earth, that You went to the cross to die for our sins, that You shed Your blood for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, You were buried and You rose on the third day, and You conquered both sin and death, and through You, Lord, we have life eternal with You. Not only that, Lord, but everything around us, Your kingdom, we're building that, Lord, now. And You're doing that through us, Lord. Do that through us. And again, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. And we look forward to what you're doing here, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.